We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I'm jumping into the next dipper now. This is an interesting one. I love it when we wind up getting liberals kind of set back on their heels. By the way, that's what it's going to have to be. We cannot for a second just sit idly by and it'll get better. You know, let's hope the election goes good. No, you got to do it now. In fact, if anything, you fight the battle now in the hopes the election will happen later and help you, but you just don't not fight the battle, right? So I'm calling this section pushback. And there's a number of different evidences of what I would call pushback against liberals. It is something else to watch when libs get out there thinking they own the moment, or they own the opportunity, or they own the time, or they own the issue. And then conservatives go, you know what? Not on my watch. And I love it when that happens. Sometimes it's stuff that you know is not going to be ended anytime soon. And you just look at it and you're just glad they're in the fight at the very least. Here's one. Just 4 days ago, townhall.com. 18 Republican-led states have just filed a new lawsuit against the Biden administration. Okay. Keep in mind, we had Catherine Robertson on from the Attorney General's office last week, and the point was made in that conversation that an Attorney General of a state does not just prosecute the crimes or the issues within the state, right? Civil or criminal, they're not just for what's happening inside the state. Sometimes they are designed to be the defender of the state, the defender of the people in the state. Well, that's happening, I mean, like literally more than I can count. 18 Republican-led states have now filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration this past week over federal guidance that promotes LGBTQ+ ideologies. In a lawsuit filed against the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, and the Department of Justice, attorneys general from 18 states have argued that the new rules force employers to have to affirm transgenders' identities. Yeah. This would allow transgender people to go by a different name, prefer pronouns, as well as use restrooms that align with. So basically what's happening is the EEOC is saying it's discrimination if you don't accommodate their gender identities. Well, the EEOC guidance is an attack on constitutional separation of powers, says Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scrimetti. So he says, when a federal agency engages in government over the people instead of government by the people, it undermines the legitimacy of our laws. By the way, your Attorney General, Steve Marshall of Alabama, is one of the lead attorneys general in that case. So here's the bottom line is, you got a situation. This is, once again, where bureaucrats are trying to establish public policy by fiat. They're not passing it legislatively. They're just going to go ahead and go, you know, let's issue a regulation and tell folks this is what they got to do. Just gonna, because. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. So yes, number one pushback I'm giving you right here is that 18 Republican-led states just filed a lawsuit to stop the EEOC from mandating that employers had to accommodate someone's gender identity. I mean, the next is going to be furries. They're gonna have to have that that litter box, you know, in the bathroom. Now this one, I hate that it had to take this long, but this is huge. Some of y'all may remember. I mean, a lot of folks have already. This has already kind of rolled off people's memory banks, right? This has gone down the memory hole. But you, do you remember an Army sergeant named Daniel Perry, out in Austin, Texas? I believe he was a Fort Hood soldier, and he was on. I think he did like Uber to earn money on the weekends, and he was in Austin during the BLM riots of 2020. And Sergeant Perry, who was armed, wound up turning a corner and finding himself in the middle of a BLM riot crowd, and they were banging on his car. You've seen the videos. They're banging on his car, and then one guy comes up to his window, and I've seen the video. He comes up to the window and points his gun in the window at Sergeant Perry, who then pulled his pistol and shot the man. About as clear-cut a case of self-defense and in heat of the moment as you could imagine. He was just convicted of murder. It took a few years, but he was just convicted of murder last month. 28-year-old Garrett Foster is the guy who was dying. By the way, he didn't just point a pistol in the window. He was carrying an AK-47 around in downtown. So he's big man on campus. He's got his AK. He points it in the window, and Sergeant Perry, a trained soldier, shoots him. The prosecutors tried to say, well, Perry could have driven away. He didn't have to shoot the guy. Well, just so you know, Governor Greg Abbott just gave him a full pardon. So Army Sergeant Perry, who was subject to a liberal prosecutor, you know, Austin's a very liberal town, a liberal prosecutor in Austin, Texas, was convicted of murder for defending himself during a BLM riot. He didn't pull the pistol first. He didn't go in there looking for trouble. He wasn't trying to find a way to do some harm. He was the guy who was stuck in the middle of the riot and had somebody else point an AK in his face. He shot before he got shot. He's convicted of murder. Governor Greg Abbott, pushing back on this one, says, nope, not going to have it. Just gave him a full pardon. By the way, he's also a deployment. He's also a veteran of Afghanistan and has a decade of military service. And I'm glad to hear it. So I hope he gets his life back. Congratulations, Sergeant Daniel Perry. Thank you, Governor Greg Abbott, for pushing back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to remind you guys, as you hear the ads playing during the break, just know this, that Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity unto ourselves. We are a business that has to have the ability to maintain its operations like any other. And one of the ways we do that is by selling ads. So if you're listening to this show and you're a Right Side ruffian, just know this. If you're a ruffian that's got a business with goods or services you want to sell, we have a captive audience of tens of thousands of Right Side ruffians right here on this show. And they much rather buy from you, I would imagine, than somebody else. So if you want to advertise on Right Side, you don't actually call the station. You just contact us direct. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message, and Lauren from Right Side will be in touch with you ASAP. I know for a fact that we had somebody inquire just a couple days ago. She was on the phone with them that same day. We just had somebody here in the studio right before they went on the air, one of our brand-new sponsors, Bama Leak Detection, actually, was here in studio checking things out. And listen, we love it. We love interacting with our folks. And you can find all of our sponsors, by the way. If you go to our website, there's a sponsors tab. Click on it. You'll find a hot link to every single one of their personal websites. And yeah, we are thankful to have just recently added Bama Leak Detection to that list. And that is very cool. Advertising Right Side Radio, just go to rightsideradio.org and we'll square you away. Okay, let me jump on in here and keep this thing moving on the pushback. I'm loving the pushback, y'all. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like I love it a lot. Here's one for you. I love it when conservatives push back on libs. Daily Signal has a story from 4 days ago. California school district denies any wrongdoing, but pays a fired Christian teacher $360,000 in a settlement. Oh, yes. It says California's Jurupa Unified School District Board on... Why are they always unified? They're always unified. The Unified School District. Unified. Anyway, Unified School District Board on Monday approved a $360,000 settlement for Jessica Tapia, a Christian teacher who was fired for refusing to use preferred pronouns or lie to parents about their child's gender identity. Let me get this straight. She's a teacher who says, I'm not going to lie to the parents. Well, I'm sorry, you can't work here. Well, Her attorney says, "Today's settlement serves as a reminder that religious freedom is protected no matter what your career. Jessica's story is one of faithful courage. She fought back to ensure her school district was held accountable and that no other teacher had to succumb to this type of discrimination." Yeah, district spokeswoman Jacqueline Paul claims, "It's not a win for Ms. Tapia. We didn't admit any wrongdoing." Yeah, they just gave her five times her annual salary to please go away. Here's the thing. I'm going to skip forward in the story and read you this. I mean, Ms. Tapia, by the way, she said it was crazy to be a Christian and realize that meant I also couldn't teach. Didn't see that coming. So here's, first of all, despite the fact that state law doesn't even really go this far, even in California, the California Department of Education decides to put out its own policies, and it says this: a transgender or gender nonconforming student may not express their gender identity openly in all contexts, including at home. Revealing a student's gender identity or expression to others may compromise that student's safety. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Thus preserve. So they want to be out, but they don't want to be outed. Let that sink in. I want to live my own truth. Just don't tell anybody. What are you talking about? You want to walk around school and, you know, LARPing as a man or LARPing as a woman. You didn't think I knew the word LARPing, did you?
What does it stand for, LARPing? I know what it is, but...
Live action role playing.
Live action role playing, okay.
I'm not a LARPer, by the way. I really am who I am. But
same.
But, yes. But they're LARPing being something they're not, and they want to do that all day at school, but then go home, pretend that didn't happen, and don't anybody tell. The whole world saw you at school. I mean, you're walking in the wrong restroom. You're using a different name. Like, no one's going to go, "Hey, so I saw little Jimmy. I mean, is it Jimmy or is it Jenny now? I don't know. I saw them the other day at school." "Excuse me, what are you talking about?" Your daughter. I mean, your whatever they are. That's never going to happen. Anyway, here's the thing. They put it in writing, y'all. I kid you not. I don't know who their general counsel was, but as their attorney, I would have said, stop writing things down. But here's what they, well, actually, I wouldn't have been on their side. But anyway, here's what they said to the teacher who said, "I can't do that. That violates my faith, and I just think it's wrong." They wrote to her and said, quote, "You believe that God created man and woman and that God creates every individual to be the person with the gender assigned in the womb and at birth. Based on your religious beliefs, you cannot be dishonest with parents. The district cannot accommodate your religious beliefs." They said this. This is all a quote. "The district cannot accommodate your religious beliefs that prohibit you from maintaining a student's gender identity and refraining from disclosing their gender identity from his, her, or their parents and guardians."
I thought we moved over topics. This is not jackassery?
No, brother. I've been pushing back, but I'm pretty sure it's jackassery all at the same time. But they're pushing back because I put it there because she took them to court and won. She took them to court and won big. Can you imagine? They put it in writing. "Hey, so you believe this and you believe this and that's your faith. And just so you know, we can't accommodate that." What? Anyway, I'm going to get some text messages here in a few minutes, but let me do another couple of stories. Just so you know, in terms of pushing back, y'all may have heard about Kansas City Chiefs, their kicker, Harrison Butker. So Harrison Butker gave a speech the other day. You know, Biden went and he gives a speech on why, if you're black in America, you have no chance of succeeding because your country doesn't love you. That's, if you missed my monologue at the beginning of the show, it's worth hearing. Harrison Butker, on the other hand, goes and gives a commencement speech to a Catholic college. He's a devout Catholic. And he got up there and he talked about faith. He talked about family. And he said at one point that he knows that his wife would agree that her life really truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and a mother. How dare, how misogynistic can, well, he doubled down on it. Yes, he did. He went on further. He said this, quote, "It cannot be overstated that all my success is made possible because a girl that I met back in band class in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker." What he was saying was she felt fulfilled that way. He didn't say every woman has to do this. He said, all of y'all out there about to graduate from college, just understand too, sometimes it's not the college degree that matters. It's the thing that makes you feel the most fulfilled. And in her case, she loved being a stay-at-home mom. She loved being a homemaker. Okay, great. Some people will love being corporate executives. Some women will go on to be firefighters and do all kinds of other things. But whatever. But guess what? Hers was not. Hers was the fulfillment of being a mom. Liberals are having a complete meltdown. They are literally calling on the Kansas City Chiefs to trade him off the team. Like, there's apparently a liberal progressive online petition to ask the Chiefs to fire him. I mean, are you kidding me with this? He was at a Catholic university giving a speech, sharing his personal opinion in America, by the way, at Benedictine College. But they want him off the team. Well, just so you know, his fans are having none of it. Turns out Butker's number 7 jersey is now catapulted to be one of the top-selling jerseys on all NFL franchise sales nationwide, putting his sales right now even higher than that of Kansas City Chiefs star quarterback Patrick Mahomes. That is awesome. You know what that tells me? It's like Charlene always says, there's still more of us than there are of them. Yes, indeed, there are. What have I got here? I got so many things in this stack. I mean, y'all, I had like piles of jackassery. I got piles of pushing back, too, just so you know. Let me do one more. Georgia Court of Appeals is going to review Trump's bid to disqualify the DA, Fannie Willis. What? Yes! The Georgia Court of Appeals has agreed to review former President Donald Trump's application to appeal Judge Scott McAfee's ruling to keep embattled Fulton County DA Fannie Willis on the case. So here's the bottom line. Fannie Willis has Loverboy given the top position on the prosecution team. He's never been a prosecutor. He's never done anything but divorce law, apparently. But, you know, that's her boy on the side. She also pays him twice as much as she pays anybody else. He's making a lot of taxpayer money as a contract lawyer to lead the defense team, never telling anybody, oh, by the way, that's my boyfriend. Okay, this doesn't smack of any kind of, you know, impropriety, not at all. And then on top of that, you look at it and go, well, I mean, what if he's just running a good attorney and all that? No, not really. What they were also doing was using the high dollars that he was paying, being paid, and then taking trips together, which then creates the question of whether or not she has been in some way conflicted or corrupted in the process. Using the money that was being paid for the prosecution of President Trump and the 18 others she indicted, she's paying her boyfriend twice as much as anybody else, and then they're taking big trips together that he's paying for with the money she's paying him twice as much as anybody else. That's jacked up. That is jackassery. However, the pushback also happened. So Judge McAfee is the one presiding over that case. Judge McAfee reviewed the situation. They had some pretty lively hearings on this, and Fannie had to come in and give testimony. Fannie didn't do so well, but the judge didn't take her off the case. The judge said, here's the deal, Fannie. Either your boyfriend gets off the case or you do. You pick. And he gave her just a mere days to resolve it. Boyfriend got fired. She stayed on the case. President Trump's team has filed a motion to have that interlocutory ruling appealed. And the appellate court's going to hear it. That's a big deal. That, first of all, that's pushback, considering the fact that Trump is under fire at every turn. The fact that he's pushing back on this and taking it as far as he can possibly take it is not just a strategy, because, yes, it also delays the final outcomes. It delays the ability of the prosecution to stay on its game. But it also clearly needs to happen, because there's a lot of people that look at this and said, the judge should have fired them both from the case. I mean, they're both lying under oath about whether they're having an affair, because he was a married man at the time. Yeah. Don't worry, though. At the very least, the Georgia Court of Appeals is going to hear it. I don't know what they'll do yet, but I'm loving the fact that they're going to hear it. All right, Big Rig, take us to the break, brother. We'll come right back. I'll catch up on some text messages. And then coming up top of the hour, we got a friend of mine, April Marie Fogle, calling in. She's an NRA lifetime member and a radio personality, and we're going to talk about guns. Live Free or Die is coming up next. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Got a bunch of text messages. I have not been able to get to all of them, so let me just jump on in here and see what we got. By the way, Devin from Brownsboro apparently is not my friend and not my fan. What is going on? Devin from Brownsboro just so offended by the fact that I brought up the story about the gay animal kingdom. If that offends you, Devin, then I think you have bigger problems. He says, Phil, I don't even have a witty comment for like stories like that. This is basically, he just says it's awful, and apparently he's taking issue with me for bringing that up. I have no issue with me bringing that up, and I own the microphone. So, yay! TC from Priceville says, how much you want to bet that Supreme Leader Zaiden uses the lower Texas immigration numbers in a campaign speech? Wow. That's a great... You know what, TC? You're on it, man. You ought to co-host this show sometime. That is probably going to happen. Nofre from Lexington says there's been so much jackassery going on today, but thank God folks are waking up. Yes, indeedy. Thank you, Nofre. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, when the top prosecutor commits perjury, who prosecutes the prosecutor? That is a great point. How about this? I got a breaking story that just came out a little while ago. What about when the top witness in the so-called criminal trial commits a crime? What do you do then? Michael Cohen today. I kid you not. Just when I think it can't get weirder. Michael Cohen is testifying for his last day in the Trump trial. He literally said that, yes, he stole from the Trump administration. He literally stole from the Trump administration. At one point he stole $60,000 because he felt like his bonus had gotten cut. So I know he took $30,000. He had grossed up an invoice that he had to repay somebody by way too much, took $30,000 of it for himself, didn't tell the Trump administration. I mean, the guy himself should be on trial. By the way, Devin from Brownsboro just came in and said, okay. Devin, all is forgiven. He says, LOL, I'm a huge fan. He said, I meant NBC can't report the news correctly. Apologize for the confusion. He says, voice text sucks.
That seems to be the common occurrence with the text.
Voice text will get you, man. Voice text will get you. Well, I was so confused. I thought, wait a minute, this is Devin? I thought Devin always, anyway. Thank you, Devin. Appreciate you, man. All is good. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, I haven't been able to listen today. Maybe you've already reported on this. It's a big story here. Ukraine is force constricting Down syndrome. Okay, I have not seen this, Chip. That's a storyline that I may have to pursue. But wow. Okay, Thomas from Killen says I think Bama should really expand their port. I think we should too, man. Especially with what's going on out in California. It's like I said earlier. I guess that's what he's responding to, is that, you know, we got one of the best warm water ports in the Gulf, and we've expanded it. And by the way, we expanded it quite a bit here in recent years. The capabilities of the Port of Mobile are world class, and right now the shipping and receiving out of California is subject to California, you know, regulatory burdens. I mean, it's just nuts. So I say, y'all head on down through the Panama Canal, come on through the warm water Gulf, and dock on up in Mobile, and we'll say y'all and serve you some sweet tea. It'll be good. Cameron from Decatur says, I'm not racist, but most of my doctors are Indian, and I'm shocked whenever I see a white doctor. Not that it makes any difference. That's the story I had earlier with Bernie Sanders, said we have too many non-white doctors. We need more non-white doctors, is what he's saying. Chris from Gadsden says, so now we have to see if Southern Immediate Care... No, we don't. I'm not going down the... I'm not going to start... Okay, thank you, Chris. James from Morris says... 60% of the U.S. is made up of white Caucasians. Of course, there's more white doctors. Get a grip. That's it. You know what, James? You're spot on, brother. That's exactly the way I feel about it. If the demographics of a profession tend to match up with the alignment of the demographics of the nation, then what's your beef? If you live in a place where the population is majority, I don't know, pick one, Hispanic, Black, Asian, white, doesn't matter, and the majority of the doctors are also matching that, well, then doesn't it stand to reason that that's partly because of where you live? They don't see it that way, though. It's racism. They got to find racism. They got to find racism under every rock. It's very important. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I got my calculator out trying to calculate how many extra credit points Big Rig ought to get for all those jackassery sound effects. Maybe the reason you can't find David from Bucky's is because he's in a beaver costume. He's not. He's not the man of the beaver. He already texted me. I know where he works now. He gave me his his duty station at Bucky's. And then Jeff from Indiana came back again and says, well, I guess Michael Cohen knows the statute of limitations on that one. You would think, although he wasn't a really good lawyer, so I don't know what he knows, just to be honest. All right, listen, we're going to come back here in just a minute from this break. Bringing on a friend of mine, April Marie Fogle. She's a radio personality of her own right, and she's also an NRA lifetime member. We're going to switch gears here. Number three, Triple Dipper, live free or die. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.